Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
A quick warning before we start the show. In this episode, we discuss instances of sexual harassment and rape. Hi, I'm Rahil Philippos, and you are listening to Three Things, the Indian Express News Show. In this episode, we talk about the condition of Sakhi centers in Maharashtra, which are established to provide safety and aid to survivors of sexual violence. We also give you an update on a POXO case against women's rights activist Rehana Fatima in Kerala. But first, we talk about the wrestlers' protest. It's been more than a month since some of India's top wrestlers have been protesting against BJP MP and the president of the Wrestling Federation of India, Brij Bhushan Sharan Singh. They have accused him of sexually harassing seven female wrestlers, including a minor. But despite that, no action has been taken against him. In fact, last month, as many of you would recall, the police had dragged them off the road and filed charges against them when they had tried to cross security barricades and march to the new parliament building, outside which a women's Mahapanchayat was going to be held. The wrestlers after that had planned to immerse their medals into the river Ganga, but were convinced by Bharatiya Kisan Union President Naresh Tikayat to wait for 5 more days before they did anything. And on the fourth night, that is on Saturday, a delegation of the protesting wrestlers met with Union Home Minister Amit Shah at his official residence in Delhi. The delegation included Olympic medalists Bajrang Punia and Sakshi Malik, along with a number of wrestling coaches.
Wrestlers demanding a probe against wrestling chief Brij Bhushan Sharan Singh met Home Minister Amit Shah over the weekend on Saturday.
Now, Sakshi Malik's husband, who was present in a meeting that took place with Amit Shah, says that the meeting was unsuccessful. Remember the wrestlers?
Now, we don't yet know what all was discussed in the meeting. But what is clear is that there still has been no police action against Brij Bhushan Sharan Singh, despite the fact that two FIRs have been filed against him. In fact, the Indian Express's Jignasa Sinha recently got a hold of these FIRs for the paper, and they reveal a lot about why these wrestlers have been protesting all this while. In this segment, my colleague Shashank Bhargav joins Jignasa to talk about it.
Jignasa, firstly, can you tell us how long did it actually take for the wrestlers to file an FIR against Brij Bhushan Singh?
So, in January this year, the wrestlers, seven women wrestlers, alleged that they had been sexually harassed by WFI chief Brij Bhushan Sharan Singh, and one of the wrestlers is a minor. So, they started protesting at Jantar Mantar, demanding his removal from WFI and his immediate arrest. And many of them, they said that, you know, they cited incidents from as long back as 2012, saying that they had been harassed and tortured for a very long time, and it's high time that, you know, Singh must be removed from his post. But that time, no complaint was filed, no FIR was lodged, and Sports Minister Anurag Thakur said that we are forming an oversight committee. Please stop protesting. They formed an oversight committee which will look into all these allegations, and within the WFI, within the Sports Ministry, the committee was formed and statements of these wrestlers were taken down. But again, no action was done. So, you know, the protesters, the wrestlers, they kept waiting throughout February, March, and then April, they decided that we need action on this because we've been waiting for 3 months now. So I think on April 21st, they filed a police complaint. But again, the police did not lodge an FIR. And that was the time they again started protesting and saying that why aren't police taking our complaint? Then it was after the Supreme Court's intervention that the police lodged an FIR. The wrestlers had to approach Supreme Court and said that, you know, we have these complaints, at least take our FIR. So it was after the Supreme Court's intervention that, you know, the Delhi police lodged two FIRs. One is on the complaint of six women adult wrestlers, and the second is on the complaint of the minor wrestler and her father.
Right, and even though an FIR has now been registered, no real action has been taken against Brij Bhushan Singh, and this is despite the fact that a minor is involved in this case. And you know, here, of course, we're talking about a BJP MP, someone with a lot of political clout. But could you talk about if it was an average person who was facing these charges, what would happen to him in that case?
I mean, to say it simply, had it been a normal person, had it been a common man, seedha arrest hota, you know, that would have been the case. Because in such cases, the Delhi police would not have waited and would have directly made an arrest. And, you know, in a POXO case, Delhi police or any police for that matter, but the delay is also usually ki, okay, chalo, theek hai, FIR ho gaya. Maybe we'll wait for, you know, to take down a statement and then make an arrest. Yeah, that happens in 2-3 days. So the usual delay is 2-3 days or maybe a week when, you know, the police might wait for a magistrate's intervention as well. But in this case, the Delhi police lodged the FIR. They took down the statements of all the wrestlers. Then their statements were recorded with the magistrate as well under 164. But no action has been taken. And Singh, who is an MP, he was called for questioning. But again, no action has been taken against him.
And Jignasa, you actually got a hold of the copies of these two FIRs that have been filed against Brij Bhushan Singh. What is the biggest thing that stands out to you about the allegations that have been made against him?
Okay, so the first FIR, if I can say, like the one with these six adult wrestlers, it is like a 14-15 page long FIR and mentions like complaints of all six wrestlers one by one, where they have mentioned incidents from 2012 to 2022. And while the police were trying to dilute, you know, the details throughout this 1 month, it's been a month since the FIR has been lodged, more than a month, in fact. And the police were trying to dilute the allegations. But when we looked at the FIR, it is horrifying to see that the incidents are mentioned in great detail, that, you know, in so-and-so championship, when I won so-and-so medal, he came to me. I don't want to say this as his modus operandi or something, but many of the wrestlers have used the statement that he would often come to check our breathing pattern and then molest us, like running hands over their breasts, over their navel, would touch their buttocks, or maybe on the pretext of taking a photo, he would, especially the minor who's 16, 17 years old, and she is alleged that when she won a medal, you know, he squeezed her arm, he molested her, he touched her inappropriately, and, you know, when she rejected his advances, he threatened her. Like, in many of the wrestlers have said they were either told that, you know, to give in to the sexual favors for better work, or were threatened ki, you know, are you trying to act too smart with me, something like that. So I think the allegations are absolutely shocking, and we can't mention the tournaments because obviously that would be identifiers for the victims, but all the incidents have these names of this incident took place in this country, this incident place took at WFI office in his room, and they're all mentioned in great detail, where they've alleged that Singh, without any fear or anything, has harassed a lot of them for a lot of years and molested them. There are more than 15, if I'm not wrong, incidents of sexual harassment in the FIRs, and 10 cases of molesting, inappropriate touching, and 2 incidents where he's asked for sexual favors in lieu of work.
And Jignasa, after reading these allegations, what sense does one get about the kind of environment this behavior festered in?
I mean, to say the least, toxic. Because when you read the FIR, you will realize that the incidents from 2012 and the wrestlers, and many of them, I think all of them have given a reason for not bringing this up earlier, because, you know, they are working under him and he's constantly threatening them or passing remarks, and not even threatening. Like, I have read parts of FIR where the wrestlers have said that we have lost sponsorships, we have not been selected for X and Y tournament or X and Y event, or not been called for this. One wrestler said she received a show cause notice. So, you know, they were not working in an environment where, I mean, even they knew that it's not a place where you will be welcomed or your grievances or complaint will be welcomed. And they knew that even when they approached the police, the FIR mentions this, that even they knew that even if they approach the police, nothing will happen, because he is a WFI chief and a BJP MP, a very powerful BJP MP. And that is what's happening. And they've alleged that even the oversight committee, which was formed this year after the protest, when they took down their statements, when they recorded their statements. Cameras were switched on and off several times. These are their allegations. We don't know what happened, but these are their allegations that the cameras were switched on and off several times and their statements were tampered with. So there's this constant push from the seniors, and you know, wrestlers have mentioned in the FIR that after filing the complaint, his aides have approached them. They've threatened them ki, you know, why are you trying to do this? What will you gain from this? Withdraw your complaint. Don't do this. So you can understand that why they did not do this for the longest time, because their boss, their senior, is not somebody who would have accepted this, you know, would have taken a complaint. And even now, there's been no arrest.
And what exactly is the Delhi police saying about why they have not arrested Brijbhushan Singh so far? What is the rationale that they're giving?
Okay, so the Delhi police stand on this case has been very weird, to say the least. I mean, earlier the Delhi police said no. I mean, when they were being cursed for not doing anything, so they said no, we have taken down statements of all the wrestlers. We have got it done through magistrate as well. We have questioned Brijbhushan Charan Singh as well. And we have lodged FIR under stringent sections. But again, there's been no action yet. And later the Delhi police said that we are in the middle of filing a status report to the court, which we will submit directly to the court, saying that we have found this in the case. And amidst this, you know, there were sources, police sources, who told media that they have actually not found any sufficient evidence in the case. So the police's reaction that time was that since the incidents are from 2012 and they're very old, we don't have evidence, and you know, the wrestlers have not been able to provide us with any physical or technical evidence yet. And we have questioned witnesses, we have questioned people from WFI, we have questioned people from the events they mentioned, but again, we don't have any evidence yet. Also, additionally, the police have said that it's not mandatory to make an arrest right now, because all these sections, including the POXO sections in the FIR, only attract a sentence of less than 7 years. So it's not that stringent, it's not that necessary that he be arrested right now, since he is cooperating in the probe. So the Delhi police said that's why we are not making an arrest right now. But again, this is their side, but in other unusual POXO cases, there's an immediate arrest and trial. But in this case, there's no arrest.
And next we talk about Maharashtra. After the Nirbhaya case in 2012, in which a 22-year-old woman in Delhi was gang-raped and murdered, the authorities across the country took various measures to try and ensure the safety of women and to help the survivors of sexual violence. One of these measures was starting Sakhi centers.
So after the Delhi gang rape incident in 2012, the Union, the Women and Child Ministry, decided to set up this Sakhi centers, which were earlier called Nirbhaya centers.
That's the Indian Express's Roopsha Chakrabarty.
So that the women who are subjected to crime like rape or domestic violence, even for acid attacks, they can get the treatment, the required counseling and the legal aids by registered advocates under a single roof in a same center. The idea was to provide the help to these women who are in distress and to help them get the treatment on time along with the mental counseling, because often in the cases of violence against women, we tend to forget about the mental trauma that a woman goes through.
The idea is that these centers should provide mental health counseling, medical checkups, and even legal aid to women who have experienced sexual or gender-based violence. In Maharashtra, there are 37 such centers that are currently operational. And to know more about their functioning, Roopsha had filed an RTI. And this RTI revealed that these Sakhi centers were being severely underutilized in the state. In fact, on average, for every 110 registered rape cases, only one survivor is being referred to a Sakhi center in Maharashtra. To know more about what the RTI reveals about these centers, my colleague Uchha Sadmin speaks to Roopsha in this segment.
Roopsha, could you tell us what led you to file this RTI?
So first of all, as a health reporter, I keep visiting hospitals for stories. There often I see that the women of gender-based violence, they don't get the required counseling and legal help. Because in the hospitals, they do get medical care and treatment on time as per the directives. But often the requirement of counseling and legal aids are neglected. And being a woman, we know how important it is for a survivors to get this help in time, because often, as we know, in 80% of the cases, the accused are from their known person, maybe from their family members. So often after suffering from this trauma, they are being isolated by the family members. So they become completely alone and isolated. So in such cases, these centers play a very important role.
Right. So what did you find out about the Sakhi centers after you received a reply to the RTI?
So one thing is that when we talk about Maharashtra, Maharashtra ranks third in India in reporting the highest number of crime cases against women as per the National Crime Record Bureau. And when we talk about Mumbai, it ranks second among cities in recording the most number of crime committed against women. So the data from the Mumbai Police Commissionerate Office showed that between 2020 and 21, a total of 1,665 rape cases were registered in Mumbai. But the RTI application filed by the Indian Express showed that only 16 of them, that is 1% of the rape survivors, were actually referred to the two OSC centers in Mumbai. And the OSC centers in KEM was inaugurated by the Union Women and Child Development Minister in 2019 with a budget of 1 crore. But it is the worst performing centers in Maharashtra. RTI shows that not a single rape survivor were attended in 2020 at the center. In fact, the KEM hospital is the biggest civic run hospital, which has around 1,500 beds. But the hospital refuses to give beds to the Sakhi centers. At present, the Sakhi center has only one bed, which is against the mandate of the union government, which requires, like, each center's requires to have minimum of 5 beds. So despite having 1,500 beds, and I have seen with my own eyes that there are many beds remain abundant in the corridors of KEM hospital, despite the availability of beds, the hospital hasn't provided the required number of beds to the center. The center has only one bed.
And do we know why this is happening despite these centers getting enough funds from the central government?
So there are several reasons. First point is the police, who are the main first point of contact, right? They are not sensitized. So I spoke with around 10 police stations. They confused one-stop crisis center with shelter homes, which are completely different, because in shelter homes, they don't get the medical care and counseling and legal aid 24/7. So these are completely different. And second of all, the hospitals often demand that the WCD, Women and Child Development, should put up posters or set up help desk near the police station so that the women, young women, or the family members are aware of the presence of such centers. Because as I said, in 80% of the cases, the accused are known people. Many of them are from the families. So in such cases, these survivors can approach the available centers and seek shelters and medical care. But as usual, there is a ongoing tiff between the health department and WCD department. Like, for example, in Mumbai, there is one Sakhi center in Jogeshwari Trauma Center. This Sakhi center is located on the 10th floor. And there is no poster. There is no way to know where the center is located. If you go and ask the hospital staff or the nurses, they are not even aware about this one-stop crisis center. So suppose a woman who is in distress, who has been raped, who is running for her accused, come to the hospital seeking help, she will have to run from pillar to post, getting direction to the one-stop crisis center. This shouldn't happen. And as per the guideline of the central government, they were directed to put up posters, proper directive with arrows and a clear board at the entrance of the hospital so that the survivors know where to go and whom to approach.
So Rupsha, in such situations, where do the survivors go?
So the issue is that women are not being referred anywhere. So they are being sent back home. Like for example, when in KM hospital receives most number of domestic cases of domestic violence. So these centers which lie empty without the presence of the survivors, referred survivors, they are acting as couple counseling centers. So these counselors just counsel the woman of domestic violence, then send them back home to again physically assaulted by their husbands or by the accused. So the main idea of this center was to help the woman, to help them recover from the trauma and to help them live a crime-free life. But this is actually not happening on ground.
Right, but also, you know, with cases of sexual violence, a lot depends on the survivors and how they want to take their cases forward. So when you spoke to experts, did they tell you how the survivors who are being referred to the centers feel about this system?
So most of these centers are located in crowded hospitals, in district hospitals mostly. So many women who belong from the same district, they fear of approaching the center because of the fear of being tagged as raped. What if my neighbor sees me? What if my friend sees me approaching the center? So this is one thing that really refrains them from approaching the center. And in fact, in cases of marital rape, women refuse to file complaint against their husband. Their fear of getting social stigmatization is one of the main concern of the woman. So there is a need to spread awareness. In fact, there are some activists who have suggested of incorporating a chapter in the studies, in the higher studies, so that both women and children from a very young age are aware of the existence of such helps. Because there is infrastructure, but if people are not being referred, we are just wasting crores of money under Nirbhaya Fund, which could have been used in a better way to provide some alternative schemes. Like one of the activists highlighted, there is a scheme in Maharashtra called Manodharia scheme, where the rape survivors, acid attack survivors are given compensation. But because of lack of fund, the scheme is another complete failure. So how we can rationalize the available fund under Nirbhaya scheme?
So the funds are not being utilized and there is a general lack of awareness about these centers. So are there any recommendations from experts on how to make the Sakhi centers more accessible so that they can actually be of help to the survivors?
So, first of all, government has funded. The data procured by Indian Express shows that nearly like only 40% of the granted fund are being used in Maharashtra. So this fund can be used to sensitize people, especially women, put up help desk in police station and in hospitals, and also to give advertisement. We have never seen government advertisement about Sakhi centers in newspapers or on TV. So how will people know about the existence? So I think these are the some basic and simple steps that the government can take in the first phase to raise awareness and to increase the referral numbers. And as per the guideline of the central government, each district is supposed to have one Sakhi center. Now, for example, in rural areas, for example, if we take Nandurbar, which is a tribal district in Maharashtra, accessibility is a huge issue because they don't even have electricity. So at night, traveling in dark, in hilly terrain is next to impossible. So many of the officers and police officers have raised the need to decentralize these centers to bring it as a closer proximity of the survivors who can approach these centers in time of need, even during night time. This will help to increase the referral or the performance of these centers.
Right, and Rupsha, you have also analyzed the data from different states and compared them with Maharashtra. What stood out to you in terms of that?
So, analysis of data by Indian Express showed that smaller states like Bihar, Tamil Nadu, with fewer number of Sakhi centers are attending to more number of women. So, if state with lesser or fewer centers can help more number of women, Maharashtra, which is the richest state in India, why the state is failing in providing help to women in need? There is a need to prioritize women's safety and to strengthen the already existing infrastructure. Because when we had also spoken with Devendra Fadnavis about this issue, the Deputy CM of Maharashtra, he also agreed and acknowledged the loopholes in the system that is affecting the well-being of the women who are subject to domestic violence or gender-based violence. So if smaller states can do it with fewer centers, Maharashtra with proper implementation and stringent rules can also help more number of women.
And in the end, we give you a quick update on a case against Rehana Fatima. On Monday, the Kerala High Court discharged women's rights activist Rehana Fatima from charges under the POCSO Juvenile Justice and Information Technology Acts. She was facing these charges for circulating a video back in 2020 where she was seen posing semi-nude, allowing her minor children to paint on her body. Discharging her from the case, Justice Kausa Edapagath said that women are often denied autonomy over their bodies and face bullying, discrimination, isolation and persecution for making choices about their lives. Edapagath also said that from the allegations against Fatima, it was not possible for anyone to conclude that her children were used for any real or simulated sexual acts and that too for sexual gratification. The court said that she only allowed her body to be used as a canvas for her children to paint on. The court also said that the right to make autonomous decisions about one's body is fundamental to women's right to equality and privacy and falls within the purview of personal liberty guaranteed by the Constitution. The order came in response to Fatima's appeal against a trial court decision. She argued that the body painting was a political statement challenging society's default sexualization of the female upper body, while the male upper body is not subjected to the same scrutiny. Justice Edapagath agreed, stating that painting on a mother's upper body by her own children as an art project does not constitute a real or simulated sexual act. The court also dismissed claims that the video was obscene or indecent, noting that nudity and obscenity are not always synonymous. Edapagath also said, and I quote, "Nudity should not be tied to sex. The mere sight of the naked upper body of the woman should not be deemed to be sexual by default. So also the depiction of the naked body of a woman cannot per se be termed to be obscene, indecent or sexually explicit," unquote. You were listening to Three Things by The Indian Express. Today's show was hosted by me, Rahil Philippos, and written and produced by Uchha Sadman and Shashank Bhargav. It was edited and mixed by Suresh Pawar. If you like the show, then do subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also recommend the show to someone who you think will like it. Share it with a friend or someone in your family. It's the best way for people to get to know about us. You can also tweet us at Express Podcasts. And write to us at podcast@theindianexpress.com.